Luke 2, we read together the first 20 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Thus far we read the divinely inspired sacred scripture. The text for the sermon this morning is verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible will open up for us this morning someone's heart, the spiritual center of a person. And it's a rare thing to be able to see right into someone's heart. Certainly, we cannot see into the heart of God, the great unsearchable God. But the great wonder of the gospel is that God makes known his secrets to us in the covenant. He does open up his heart to us and show us who he is. And certainly we cannot see into and know the heart of another person. I know my heart and you know your heart, but the heart of another person is closed to us. It is known only to that person and to God. But this morning, the scriptures will open up to us the heart of Mary. And would you not agree that if there were anyone in all of Scripture into whose heart you would want to look, that it would be Mary? Whose heart could be more intriguing than the heart of Mary? Of all the people in Scripture, for she is the one in whose stomach the second person of the Trinity came and became man, and from whom the Son of God was born. She carried the Son of God incarnate. And now what was going on in her heart? Well, if we look into her heart, of course, we will see sin, as we will see in the heart of all of us. She's not the immaculate, sinless virgin as the Roman Catholic Church makes her out to be. She was a sinner. But you will also see all the wonderful graces of the Holy Spirit. She was a regenerated believer. She adored God, loved God. She lived for the praise of God. And before this point in the history, she had that glorious exclamation in the presence of Elizabeth, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." But what about now? What about on what we call Christmas? What about on this day in which she brings forth her Lord, the Son of God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ? What was in the heart of Mary? And the text answers that question for us in Luke 2, verse 19, when it tells us that Mary kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. She was pondering. And that verb there is in a tense that indicates continuous ongoing activity. Mary was continually pondering all these things. And that's what we want to consider for a few moments this morning. And may the Lord God use the preaching of this word to stir our hearts up this morning to a holy pondering of the wonderful works of God that we celebrate this morning. So let's take Luke 2 verse 19 under the theme, Mary's pondering. First, all these things. Second, kept and pondered. Third, doing the same. All these things. The text says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. All these things refers, first of all, to all of the circumstances involved in the pregnancy and the delivery. As a woman who had just given birth for the very first time, no doubt, like any woman, Mary was pondering all of the circumstances surrounding this most incredible experience. Joseph didn't know what that was like to give birth. I don't know what that's like. No man knows what that's like. And there are even some women who don't know what that's like. There are midwives and nurses who are involved in helping with delivery, but who themselves have never been pregnant and have never given birth to a child. But Mary knew what that was like. And many women know what that experience is like to have another human being in the stomach and then to bring forth and deliver that child. One of the most amazing activities that God ever designed and created. Childbirth. No doubt Mary was pondering everything involved in that childbirth. Surely going back to the beginning of the pregnancy and the very difficult trip later on that she and Joseph had to make from their city of Nazareth, then to Bethlehem to be taxed, how difficult that trip was for her, and then what it was like to come to the inn and there was no room for them and they had to find a less suitable place for Mary to deliver her child, and then the process of bringing forth that baby, wrapping him in swaddling clothes, putting the child there in the manger. There were many things for Mary to ponder. But all these things refers not only to the ordinary, it refers to the unordinary and even the extraordinary. For the one who is born of Mary is the extraordinary one to whom none can be likened. So in the second place, all these things refer to all of the circumstances surrounding the visit of the shepherds. That's the immediate context. That's the immediate occasion for the truth of the text. The shepherds had just come and they had found the babe in swaddling clothes in the manger and Joseph and Mary exactly as the angel had told them. And as they came close to this woman who they would come to know as Mary and to this man whom they would come to know as Joseph and to the little baby in swaddling clothes, surely they related all of the experiences they had just had. We were out in the countryside, keeping watch over our flock, protecting our sheep. We do that every night. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared. Have you ever seen an angel? Joseph, Mary, an angel appeared unto us, and we were sore afraid. But the angel said, "Fear not, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And so there we were, pondering and trying to process and receive this revelation from God through the angel and everything it meant. And all of a sudden, there was this multitude of the heavenly host, all these angels appeared with his angel and started crying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now it's very quiet here with a little baby. You should have heard it, and you should have seen what we saw, hearing the whole of the heavens ringing with praise unto God. And then after the angels left, we looked at ourselves and said, "Well, let us go and see this thing which has come to pass." And so we came here to Bethlehem, and then we found you and the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. What a blessed day this is. This baby right here is the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. He will release us. We believe it with all our heart. He will release us from our captivity. He will set us free from all of our sins. He is the hope of all Israel. Redemption in God is found in this child who is Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Messiah of God. Now let us go and noise abroad in all the countryside the things we have heard and seen. And so off the shepherds went. But Mary kept all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. Thirdly, all these things refers to more than the immediate context in the visit of the shepherds. It refers to the broader context and the first word of the angel to Mary, and then everything that happened until this point. Mary was just an ordinary young peasant girl. She was of the line of David. She was espoused to a man named Joseph. There was nothing apparently extraordinary about her. But everything changed so quickly when one day an angel came to her and said, "Hail," Luke 1:28, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Can you imagine all the pondering Mary must have done? A young woman, and now an angel just came and told her she will become pregnant and she will give birth to the Son of God. And then later she goes and she tells Elizabeth, and as she gives salutation to Elizabeth, Elizabeth calls her the mother of my Lord. And Elizabeth tells her that after receiving the salutation, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped. And then after she became pregnant as a virgin, her espoused husband Joseph did not put her away. Joseph had no dealings with her, and yet she's pregnant. How could she be pregnant except she had committed adultery? But Joseph did not put her away. Joseph came and told her that an angel appeared unto me and told me that you are pregnant by the Holy Ghost, and that you will bring forth a child, and we will call his name Jesus, and he will be Emmanuel according to the scriptures, God with us. All these things, from the first word of the angel all the way until the birth of the Savior. All these things Mary kept, all these things, and pondered them in her heart. There's never been anyone in the history of God's covenant who has ever had experiences like Mary. We will not venerate her as Rome does, but we will recognize that God specially prepared her and led her through all kinds of unique experiences. And now all these things are the wonderful, miraculous, saving works of God in bringing forth the Messiah. And Mary pondered all these things. Surely she pondered the counsel of God and how God's counsel was unfolded through her. And she pondered the scriptures. She knew the Old Testament scriptures. She was a believing woman. She was raised with the scriptures. She would have memorized scripture verses like the boys and girls here, the Old Testament scriptures. And now she's taking all these experiences and trying to connect the dots and go all the way back to the beginning. We've always clung to this promise that there will be the seed of the woman, seed of the woman. And now I am a woman, and the seed in me and out of me as the Son of God. And how can it be? And the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, right here in my arms. And the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord, who has come to save us as the revelation of God's faithfulness. All these things. Now, there's no way Mary could ever fully understand, and there's no way she could understand as you and I do after Pentecost. And you and I who have the sacred scriptures with the whole of God's revelation from Genesis to Revelation, she didn't have that. But she had all these experiences and all this knowledge, all these things. And now the text tells us that she kept and pondered them. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In her heart, she did not merely keep these things on her tongue. I can imagine they were on her tongue as she and Joseph talked about all these things. But it went deeper than her tongue. And it wasn't merely in her mind, though surely these things, as the content of intellectual activity, were in her mind. But it went deeper than the bare, cold content of intellectual activity. The text says, heart. In her heart, which is the deepest center and core of a person. And the heart is the seat, it's the place, it's the location of love. And we all know that, even the children know that. And sometimes we indicate that by saying, I love you. And instead of writing love, we draw a picture of a heart and say, I draw a picture of a heart, you. Or I've even seen young people making shapes like this. I've never asked, but I assume the shape of a heart, it means love. Heart. Love. Great God in heaven is love. And the scripture tells us that he pours into our hearts his love. Romans 5 verse 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart so that we, by the Holy Spirit, have love for God and affection for God. And Mary kept all these things deep, deep down in her heart so that there was affection for all of these things in the sense that she knew they were the revelation to her of her God. She loved her God, and she viewed all these things as the revelation of her God, whom she loved. And so she kept these things in her heart. And that verb kept underscores her love. For the verb kept means to preserve and to treasure. So that in her regenerated, believing heart, Mary kept all these experiences, all these memories, all this knowledge. And she treasured them away, as it were, in the treasure chest of her heart so that they would be preserved forever. And no one, not even the devil, could snatch them away so she could then admire them In love for her God, she kept all these things. But she not only kept them, she kept them so that she could ponder them. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now you will notice in the text there's no object of the verb pondered. The word them is italicized so that the text reads, but Mary kept all these things and pondered in her heart. Now, of course, she pondered all these things, but the text doesn't say that because the text is making the point that she kept all these things in her heart, and then she not only pondered all these things, but she pondered the significance, the saving, eternal, covenantal, spiritual significance of all these things. For her and for the elect remnant, going all the way back to Adam, what these things revealed about her God, she pondered. Verse 18 says, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered. She not only wondered, she pondered. That means she reflected. She meditated upon. She contemplated. These are various verbs that we've already used singing from the Psalter. She contemplated all these things in admiration and in awe as they revealed her God. As it were, she opened up that treasure chest of her heart where she had kept all these things. And then she reached her hand down into that treasure chest of all these things and took a heap and lifted them up in her heart and let them fall through her fingers. And she reached down again into all these things and lifted them up and then took another one at a time and lifted them up and turned and peered and measured and analyzed and weighed and contemplated and meditated on all these things and all their organic unity and their interrelatedness, all these experiences and memories and knowledge. And she delighted in them in her heart as she pondered them. And that was a good thing. Now, you might have it where your mind gets stuck and you can't turn your mind off. And you can't even sleep because you're working through, you're pondering some negative thing, some negative experience, some thorny problem created by sin, some great grief in your life, some dreadful encounter, some horrible experience. And whatever it may be, it's something negative and you dwell on it. And you don't let it go. And you keep working it over in your mind. And it starts affecting your mood. And it affects your whole outlook and your perspective on life. Until someone has to come along and say to you, you have to stop dwelling on these things. It's one thing to be aware of these negative things and to work through them. But stop dwelling on them. Stop pondering them in your heart. If things are not true, but false, if things are not honest, but deceitful, if things are not just, but unjust, if things are not pure, but defiled, if things are not lovely, but ugly, if things are not of a good report, but of a bad report, if things are not virtuous and praiseworthy, but vile and contemptible, then stop thinking on these things. That's really what the Apostle Paul says to the church at Philippi when he says, think on, dwell on, and meditate and ponder these things, those which are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report and virtuous and praiseworthy. And that is what Mary was doing when she kept and pondered all these things. Things in her heart. She was dwelling upon them. She took them all from the first word of the angel to everything that just was reported by the shepherds, all their eternal, saving, covenantal significance. and she kept working them through in her mind and deep down in her heart. And with awe and praise and gratitude to her God, what a God I serve. I love Him. And what a Savior this is. I don't deserve Him. And who are a people so happy as we are who have this great God and this great Savior? And there she was by the manger, pondering all these things, so that it wouldn't have been a surprise if Joseph had to say, "Mary, Mary, do you not hear the babe is crying? Mary." Her heart was way up in the highest heavens, pondering all these things. To say with the psalmist, in the words of Psalter 416, "On his praise, even in the night, I will ponder with delight." She was pondering. And that pondering of Mary stands out in the text as a contrast. First of all, the stillness of Mary is contrasted with the busyness everywhere else. Luke chapter 2 is full of activity. You're almost out of breath by the time you get to the text. In addition to all of the activity of all of the people everywhere in the Roman Empire doing whatever it was the people were doing, we have the decree of Caesar Augustus and all these people going to their city to be taxed. And then we have Joseph and Mary leaving Nazareth and traveling to Bethlehem to be taxed. And then getting to the inn, bustling with activity, and there's no room for them there. So they go find another place. And then we have the shepherds keeping watch over their flocks. We have the appearance of the angel, and then the multitude of the heavenly host. And then the shepherds go, and they leave and come to Bethlehem and find this babe in the manger. All this activity everywhere. And then we have the text, but Mary. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Very quiet, very still. Not just because she had a baby, and any woman who just had a baby will be very quiet and very still while everyone else is scrambling about, but because she was pondering. And then if you could look into her heart, you would see there was as much activity there as anywhere else, as she kept working through all these things with delight. She pondered. And then secondly, this pondering stands out in the text as a contrast of her faith with unbelief. As the story unfolds, very few people will stop in faith and ponder what has just happened and who this Savior is. In fact, the wicked world will soon show its rage in Herod, who wants to kill the baby. And then there is the hatred of the false church and the scribes and the Pharisees who oppose, and later on more and more will oppose this Savior, the Son of God. Natural man will never ponder the Son of God. That Mary was pondering is the evidence she has faith. She's a believer. God, by the Holy Spirit, has regenerated her and given to her saving faith. And what an amazing display of her faith that she takes all these things and she ponders them at the manger. But you know what's even greater? Many years later, when she ponders at the cross, now she's by the manger. But later, with other women, she will stand near the cross. And how her heart must have been bleeding in agony, because that's her son. She used to hold him as a precious child in swaddling clothes. And now he's the most despicable object in the whole world, taunted, ridiculed, mocked, condemned, beaten, scorned, nailed to a cross, crucified. Her son and what they did to him in murderous rage and persecution, her son. And Simeon foretold it. It will be like a sword, Mary. It will be like a sword piercing through your soul. And how the heart and soul of the mother must have been bleeding in agony for her son, crucified on a cross. And oh, the power and the grace of God to be able to give Mary faith at that moment, to be able to ponder now these things, and that this too is a revelation of the love of God and the faithfulness of God, and that in my Son, who is the Son of God, there is a propitiation for all my sins, and there's a way into the presence of the living God for me, Mary, who is but a poor sinner. All these things, the love of God in the crucifixion, those two, Mary, as she walked away with John, having just heard, "Woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother," and off she goes with John to keep all these things and ponder them in her heart. She lived an extraordinary life, not because she herself was an extraordinary person, but God led her through extraordinary experiences and gave her the grace to be able to keep these things in her heart and ponder them. Now let's do the same this morning. You know, there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be very, very busy, to throw ourselves, as it were, into our work, to serve other Christians, to serve God's church, to serve the schools, to serve our family, to serve the kingdom of God. There's a time to be hard at work, fully engaged in whatever our station and calling is appointed by God, laboring to put bread on our table and to have something to give to the poor. There's a time to take up the hard matters of life. Though we don't want to, according to the flesh, we'd rather run away. There's a time to deal with the difficult matters of life. There's a time for recreation. There's a time for pleasure. There's a time to rise up, O men and women of God, to rise up and from the heart and with a voice to sing and to shout hallelujahs and melodies unto the great God of our salvation. But there's also a time to stop. And to ponder. To ponder. Like that other Mary who sat down at his feet. Our world and our life is not conducive to pondering. And technology certainly does not foster pondering. It fosters a craving for what's next. Give me something new, brighter, faster, more stimulating. One image after another. What's next and what's new? But for Christians, there's always a time to stop. And to ponder, to open up the scriptures, the revelation of God, and just read through your Bible. Put everything away and just read and read. And then ponder and work through all these things, the unsearchable riches that are in the Lord Jesus Christ, the inexhaustible fount of all God's grace to ponder these things. There's a time to turn some music on. Good edifying music with scriptural lyrics like Handel's Messiah. And turn it up. And turn it up. And drown everything else out. And just listen. And let the words of scripture be the wings on which your soul ascends into the highest heights of heaven. And just contemplate the glory of your great God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and ponder. You can ponder while sitting. You can ponder while driving. You can ponder while working with your hands. You can ponder while you're on a walk. Let's ponder. And let's ponder all our sins one by one and see them covered. All them covered by his precious blood. And ponder that. They're all covered. He will not make me pay for even one. Oh God, I am sorry for my sins. And I thank thee for the pardon in Christ. And to ponder this one, he's the Son of David. He sits upon David's throne. Of his kingdom there is no end. He's ruling you and all right now. And you in his grace, and ponder. And if there's anything that the Christian ponders, isn't it finally the heart? That with his heart, the Christian ponders the heart of Jesus, which is the revelation of God. Jesus' heart, his perfect, sinless, holy heart, and all he did living out of that heart for you and me. The heart of our Savior. And when we ponder the wonderful works of God and all of their significance in Christ, and we live pondering, then we are spiritually healthy and we have a good perspective and we're capable of dealing with the hard things of life and the negative things of life. God grant us pondering. And so may God use the word of Mary's pondering as the gospel this morning to stir our hearts up to a holy pondering of all these things made known to us here in his infallible word. May God grant it. Amen. Father in heaven, thou art worthy of all the affection of our heart, of all the thoughts of our mind, of all the desires within us. Great God, unfathomable thou art. There's none like unto thee. Show us thyself again and again. Show thy faithfulness in Jesus Christ. And may we dwell upon thee, thou who art our rock and fortress. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.